Hello, everybody. Good to see you again today. Thank the Lord that He has blessed us through another night and woke us up this morning and brought us to church. So that's a pretty good deal, I'd say. But I do appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Brother Billy is away today, but we will see what we can find in God's Word as we continue to look at God's plan. And many times when we look at God's plan, we don't totally understand it, but we know He's in charge. So we'll just see what His precious Word says about it. So if you will, bow with us in prayer, and then we will begin this morning probably in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Lord, again today we do graciously thank You that You have watched over and cared for us another week that we might be present again today in this Your place and our place to worship. And Lord, we ask that we would take it seriously, the fact that You have blessed us with a place to come and fellowship together. Lord, that You have given us Your precious Word to feed us as we gather together. And Lord, because of Your marvelous grace, Your saving grace, and the fact that You have saved us and implanted in us the precious Holy Spirit, it gives us that desire to come and study and fellowship and worship You together. And Lord, I thank You for each one who's here in our presence this morning, and both those that are on the internet or whatever means they might be listening to us today. Ask Your blessings upon them. Lord, we also see that we have many trials and tribulations and much suffering as we walk through this world. And Lord, we know that You know our every need, and You're able to meet it. So, Lord, we must commit ourselves to You and ask that Your will in our lives be done. And, Lord, it will be the right decision, because it will be the decision that You've made and not that we've made. We might not understand it, but one day it'll all be behind us. Bless us now, Lord, as we study. May the Holy Spirit open Your precious Word to us. Help us to understand it and see the truths and see You and see Your mercy and Your grace and Your love and how You care for us each and every day. Thank You again for Your saving grace and for all those who are present and all those who are listening in today. Ask that You'd bless according to Your precious will. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right. Okay, the book of Genesis, we're going to chapter number 5. We've been looking at God's plan and the war. Remember, we looked at Genesis and we looked at the enemy between God's seed, the woman's seed, and the devil's seed. And then we looked at Cain and we looked at Abel. And then we looked at where the devil looked like he was making much more progress in the world than Christ or than God was, because Cain killed Abel, the righteous one. Then we saw where the God says it's time for Seth to come on the scene. And we saw where Seth came, and the statement was made as we look in the fourth chapter of the 26th verse, and it says, Seth And to Seth and to him also there was born his son. He called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So here we have again those who call on the name of the Lord. Seth were now takes the place where Abel was. But I want us to look at a thing or two this morning as we begin to go toward the flood. Now, if we look in chapter number 5, and we were closing there last Sunday, and it says, all the days of Adam and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, 930 years, I want you to think about what we're seeing as we go. I'm going to look at, and I'm not going to call all these names. I'm just going to look at some years, I'll tell you. But look at how many years that each and every one of these that we mentioned in these scriptures in chapter number 5 are living. And then let me put something kind of in perspective for you, if I might. We've just celebrated a birthday in America. How many years? 250. Now, you think about way back in birthday number 1 for America. How many people were there here in the United States? You know, I don't know how many people were here in the United States total at that time. But I guarantee you there won't be near as many as there is now. And you look in a span of 250 years and look at the number of people. Now here, as we look, it says Adam lived how many years? Look at how many years all these men lived. And we're talking about a period of time of maybe 1,500 years, a little better, 1,500 to 1,600 years from Adam to the flood. So we've had an opportunity for a great number of people to be on this earth. But there's also one thing that you can rest assured of. Now it says here that Adam lived 930 years and he did what? And he died. Okay? Then we look at Seth. And Seth lived, verse number 8, he lived 912 years. And he what? And he died. Then we look on down and it says Enos, 905 years, and he died. And if you look at each and every one, verse number 14 was 910 years, and he died. Verse number 17 was 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years in verse number 18. And he begat Enos. And Jared lived after he begat Enos 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And that statement is made in, with every one of these gentlemen. They begat sons and daughters. So the population of the world is exploding over this period of time. Now, let's look at something when we come to Enoch. And all the days of Jared, it says, was 960 in 2 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years, and he beget Methuselah. All right, now watch this. How many years did he live when he beget Methuselah? He lived 65 years. And Enoch did what? It says, and Enoch walked with God. After that, he begat Methuselah. Now, how many years did he walk with God? 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, he's a long ways from being as old as the rest of these gentlemen are. But there's a key in all this when we look at it. Now, we said that Seth is, if you want to say it this way, represents the righteous men of God, like Cain represents the lost. And it says that Enoch, which was in the lineage, or the lineage, we're looking at lineage here also, and it says he did what? It says he walked with God. Well, how close did he walk with God? What was the relationship between he and God? And I'd have to say that as we look a little bit farther in this, his relationship was a very good relationship. How do we know that it was? Well, just look on down and let's see how it was. And it says in the 22nd verse, Enoch walked with God. After that, he begat Melchizedek 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Just 300 years now. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Seems like he got cut short, don't it? Everybody else is living 800 years, 900 years. And here Enoch is, only 360 years. But watch what happened to him. Verse number 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he what? He was not. For what? For God took him. That's a pretty good place to be. I'd say, wouldn't you say that he had a pretty good relationship with the Lord? And the Lord took him. And what do we see in this? We see God's timetable. It don't make any difference when God gets ready to do something. He does it. All the rest might have lived 800 or 900 years. That's don't mean anything to God. God's got a plan. So here we see where he took Enoch. Now, let's kind of set a stage a little bit and see what's fixing to happen. Now, we're looking at a lot of years and a lot of people and a lot of situations. And what we see again is a natural man doing his natural thing. And is a natural man's thing, well, I'm going to serve God with all my heart and with all my mind, or am I going to serve the devil? When we look at just the natural man now, who's he going to serve? Well, we know he's going to serve the devil in his natural state. The only reason that you and I serve God is because we've been born again and the precious Holy Spirit abides within us. And now we have a spiritual man that lives inside of us. And the only way that you and I can do anything at all to please God is because we listen to the spiritual man inside of us instead of the natural man. And that's the reason there's always a war going on within us as children of God. And here's the same situation. There's a war going on. Now, if we look, we come on down to the, let's see which verse I want. We come on down to the 29th verse, and there's a son born, and he called his name who? Noah. Now, why does Noah's name stand out? When we say Noah, what's the first thing you think of? You think of the flood, right? So now, here we are. We're looking at two people. We're looking at Enoch, and we're looking at Noah. Now we're fixing to see the situation that the world is in at the time of Enoch and at the time of Noah. Now it says in verse number 31, and all the days they went were 727 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I have three sons mentioned here. Then it looks like we've changed the whole subject. But let's look at what's fixing to take place. And it says, it came to pass and began to multiply on the face of the earth, and his daughters and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. A statement, all which they chose. Now, there's been a lot of questions and controversy about these verses back and forth. And some say they were the fallen angels of God that took on women. I've not found yet in God's word where angels are always sexless in God's word. To me, I don't know, but to me it appears like those who trusted in God went out and it didn't make any difference where the women were righteous or unrighteous, in most cases unrighteous, and they took those. But nevertheless, we know what it's fixed to lead to. We also see that in verse number 3, the Lord said, notice the Lord said, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So we find that God says, my spirit is not going away to strive with man. He's put time in the picture. God has a timetable. Just like now, Brother Billy has been talking to us in his message for the last few messages concerning the rapture of the church. God has a timetable. The rapture is, I think, getting very close. And I'm looking forward to it. That's all I know. I'm just looking forward to it. But we see God has a timetable. In verse number 4 it says, there were giants in the earth in those days also, after that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were old men of renown. Verse number 5 says, and God saw. Now notice we in verse number 3 said, God said. And here in verse number 5, he says, God saw. And what does he see when he looks at mankind? Now he says, he saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Now, how deep is that wickedness? It says every imagination and thought of the what? Of the heart. So it's embedded in man. And it said he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now, some people look at this and say, well, God made a mistake. And it repented him that he did. He repented that he did this. I want you to pay attention to one particular little word in these verses that I've just read to you. Now, you've heard me say that I with all my heart believe that from man's creation up to this day, there is a war between God and Satan. And Satan thinks that he can overpower God. And he's doing everything in the world he can to try to accomplish that feat. And God even made us in a natural man form. And he has made us to desire to serve God more than self and sin. How were we created? You do not have to teach a child wrong, do you? You have got to instill in that child right. The natural man does not live a life of righteousness. That's not his nature. So God has created man with that kind of nature. He has put man, he created him here on this earth, and this earth is the devil's domain. So we could say, and you've heard me say it before, we kind of put him in the devil's backyard. And I think God says to the devil, you watch and see what I can do, because I can save man even under those conditions. And I think the warfare has been on ever since. It goes way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. Now, so here's the battle. But notice in verse number 6, one little word. It said, it repented the Lord that he had made man. And what's the next word? On the earth. He does not say it repented him that he made man. It just put him in a bad situation on this earth in the devil's backyard. And here, when we look at it, it looks like the devil has the lead, so to speak. But let's look at something. We said God has a plan. He's going to fulfill that plan. And in verse number 8, it says, but Noah. But who? But Noah. Noah did what? He found grace. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited love of God. And it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what? He was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah did what? He walked with God. Well, what did we say a while ago that Enoch did? He walked with God. So here we put Noah and Enoch in the same category, so to speak, that they walked with God. Then it tells again that Noah begat these three sons. And it says, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That reminds you of anything we're putting up with today. If you turn the television on, when you get home and you turn over the news, what's one of the first things you're going to hear? Somebody shot somebody or somebody stabbed somebody. I'm just wondering when they say we're going to have to take away all the knives. I'm waiting for that to come about. But, that, you know, it's violence on every hand. That's all we hear if you listen to the news. And here we were in that same situation in Noah's day. And it said, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt of all flesh, for all flesh had corrupted his ways. Now, who's done the corruption? All flesh has done the corruption, and he's done it his ways upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. So now let's go back and look at a thing or two. As we look at where we are in our studies today. Now, if I were to, at this point, go to Revelations and do some reading, we'd find where God has intervened with a specific people. So let's take the flood just a moment and look and see what we can see. When we looked at verse number 24, he said, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. Well, what did Enoch do? He just went out walking one day, and him and God had a little conversation, and God called him up, didn't he? Does that remind you of anything that we're looking for? Or we listen and see if we can hear the trump of God. Rapture. Brother Billy has been talking about rapture and when it takes place. Now let me ask you a question. Is this prior to the flood? Is this while the flood's going on? Or is this after the flood that this verse takes place? See, this is prior to the flood. Enoch, I believe with all my heart, represents you and I in this dispensation of grace. And before judgment comes on this earth, God's going to call us home. And we will not go through tribulation. Okay? Now, let's come to one more thing while we look at this. It appears that if we look at the flood when it begins, or when it's fixing to begin, Enoch now is the only one that we have that's mentioned, who he represents. Now, in every situation here, it says these descendants of Adam and Seth and his family, it says every one of them, for all those years, they had sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. I said the population of the world was great at this time. But the only one that we have mentioned is Enoch, out of all those people. Then we come to the flood that's fixing to take place. And we have one more man mentioned, and he is Noah. And it says Noah found grace. It says he was a just man. It says he was a perfect man. And it says he walked with God. And what's God going to do when the flood comes? We know that he's going to spare Noah, right? And Noah's family. So now Noah also represents somebody in this situation. So who in the world does Noah represent? Now he has told, he has told Noah to build an ark. And Noah's going to build the ark just like God told him to do. Then he has also told him what to do concerning the ark. How many of the animals to take in and for what reason to take those in. He says, if we look in verse number 17, he says, and behold, I, and this is the Lord speaking, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth, destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But, here's a but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And then it talks about the fowl of the air and the cattle and the creeping things and all those things that will come into the ark. And verse number 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. A little more detail when we get into chapter number 7. He said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens. Now, if you ever read to your children concerning Noah and the ark and the animals and the fowl that he took in, don't you tell them he just took them in two by two. If you'll notice, he took the clean animals by seven. Why did he take the clean animals by seven? Why more of those? See, we come to the point that there's going to be a time of sacrifice. If you've got just two of something, and you immediately after the flood, you come out and you have an altar and you do sacrifices, what have you just done? You've eliminated those animals. So God said, those that are going to be sacrificed, you take those in by sevens. See, God don't make a mistake. His plan works. So he said, you take them by seven, male and female, and the beasts that are not clean by twos, male and female. So those that can't be sacrificed, you take them in by twos. But now I want you to notice verse number 3. And all these years, I had never noticed this. Of the fowls also of the air, by what? By sevens. I never noticed that before. He didn't say just a certain fowl of the air. He just said of the fowls of the air. All those, you take them in by sevens. Why in the world? Well, he said you take them in male by female, and you take them in, he said, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. So he had a reason. God has a reason for everything he does. And then he says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, for the sake of time, we know that it starts, but I want you to look at verse number 16. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And we have Noah, his wife, and his children and their husband. Small number of 8. And it says, what happened when he got them all in? Noah says, well, I reckon it's time to close the door, so I reckon I better see if I can get this old big door up here and get it closed. Make sure it's sealed off. What does that say? And the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. I sure am glad I'm wrapped up by the Holy Spirit and shut in. And then we know destruction comes. Now, what do we see in this? Where are we here? We have Enoch, who's called up out of a sinful world. And I want you to notice that we're talking about Seth lineage too. And apparently Enoch is a small number of those that came through the lineage of Seth. We're getting to be less and less as children of God in this world we live in too. And there's also Noah that comes from that lineage. And his family, and they're all that saved out of all the people prior to the flood. Now, if you look, it says that the water prevailed on the earth in chapter 7, verse number 24, 150 days. But then look at chapter number 8 and verse number 1. And what does that say? And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. They dried up, didn't they? Now, when we look and we talk about The next thing on God's timetable, as we see it, is the rapture of the church. Then immediately, we go into what we call the tribulation period. And if we look in the book of Revelations, we find in this, I believe it's the seventh chapter of the book of Revelations, that it talks about a chosen people. About 144,000 Jews. And before the judgment starts, he says, "Hold everything. Angel standing in the four winds of the earth." And it says, "Hold everything until I have sealed these." And then it lists the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And it lists 12,000 out of each of the tribes of the nation of Israel that seal with the seal of God. What does that mean? That means that they're in safety. During what? During the tribulation period. Where is Noah during the tribulation period? Noah is in the ark. Who has sealed the door of the ark? God has sealed the door of the ark. Noah represents the nation of Israel. And those of the nation of Israel who are sealed during the tribulation period will certainly make it through the tribulation period, just like Noah is making it through the flood. Because we read that after these 150 days, God remembers him, the water sways, and then we find in verse number 15, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee." Go forth. Now, when the tribulation period comes and judgment comes upon this earth's going to be in foul shape when that tribulation period is over. But then, it says here that the water was assuaged, and everything now is fixing to come back to life to where it can be inhabited and enjoyed by man. And when the tribulation period is over, millennial rule starts, and God will bring everything back where man can function and enjoy that millennial reign that is for who? The nation of Israel. He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has a plan. He's in charge. He's going to be victorious. God bless you and thank you for listening.